What's cracking, folks? Welcome back after a long break to Podcast Paroxysm. I am Jared Dubin, and we've got Jordan White online as usual. What's up, Jordan?
Oh, I'm just glad to be back on the air, Jared.
It's been so long, man. I
So
mean,
long.
we've both been super busy. You're out in Denver. I believe you were already there the last time we did a podcast, though.
Yeah, I was searching for housing most of the time.
Right, now you have, you know what? Tell us about your new house a little bit.
Okay, well, it's in a very nice part of town. I'm right by one of the best parks in all of Denver. Got four of the roommates. Some of you who are listening might have seen some of my tweets regarding one of my roommates. But another one of my roommates brought her dog back, and so now we just have this awesome 10-year-old golden retriever who just wants to cuddle all the time, hanging out with us.
What's the dog's name?
Duke.
Duke? Like, is it Duke like the college or Duke like, the royal person in England? What kind of Duke is it?
I'm not sure what inspired it, but
These are the kind of things that you need to know. Like, what do we keep you around for if you don't know this?
hold on, let me answer. I don't know what he was named for, but to me, what he most resembles is Duke, like the Duke, like John Wayne.
Oh, I thought you meant like Duke Silver.
Nah, I mean like the Duke. A little bit of Duke Ellington in him too.
All right. Also, tell everyone about the link you sent me of this new fantastic place in Denver.
Oh. Okay.
Or is it new, or is it, did you just discover it?
I just discovered it. I don't know that. I don't think it's new. But I was searching yesterday for restaurants to go to because Denver has a ton of amazing food choices. And I happened upon this place. I believe it's called Lotka Love.
Yep, that was it.
Yeah. I don't. It's. I'm going to read you guys part of the menu because what this place does, it just serves latkes. And it
If you're
looks
Jewish,
Jewish.
it's pretty self-explanatory what a place called Latke Love is.
Right, yeah. So you get four latkes, and here are some of your choices. So there's the Manhattan, which is caught smoked salmon, dill cream, red shaved onion, and capers. So it's like, it's basically latkes and lox. There's one called the Oy Vey Caliente, spicy vegetarian or pork green chili, cheddar cheese, and a fried egg. One of my favorite titles is Rabbi, I'm Confused. Slow smoked pulled pork, Carolina mustard, barbecue sauce, and pickled red onion. There's one called the Meshuggah, which is half of the Rabbi and half the Balabusta, which is slow braised brisket, Guinness gravy, and roasted carrot. And I cannot wait to go here.
It really just sounds terrific.
Doesn't it?
I
Oh.
mean, you might, I don't know. Never mind. I was gonna say something about what some of Denver's other establishments that you might want to go to beforehand, but probably don't want to do
No,
that.
probably don't.
Anyway, let's move on, talk about some actual basketball. We're gonna start off talking about surprises and disappointments, but one disappointment we're definitely not gonna talk about is the one taking place in my city because I'm sick of it. What other than the Knicks? What's the most disappointing team to you this season?
Huh. Yeah, this is actually a tough one. Because I don't know if there's one team that really just stands out as far as like how disappointing they are. Like, not even the Knicks are disappointing to me. Brooklyn's a little disappointing just because we thought they'd be a lot better, but then again, it's not that surprising given their age.
Well, they're also, 10-1 since the calendar turned to 2014. They had a bunch of injuries at the beginning of the year. Jason Kidd had to get things ironed out. To me, a really disappointing team, and it's not even a team that I was expecting much from. I said before the season that I wasn't really expecting all that much from them. It's Detroit. I mean, they're a mess, man. They're 17-27, same record as the Knicks. The trio of big front court is just a disaster. It
See, I
doesn't
told
work well
you.
together at all.
And you weren't that worried about it. You thought like Mo Cheeks would stagger the minutes,
Wait,
but he
what?
they're not.
Me? No,
Yes,
I was the
you.
one that said it was going to be a disaster.
No, you said earlier on you thought it was going to be disaster, but you also said that Mo Cheeks was going to be able to stagger the minutes. They wouldn't play all 48 minutes together,
Well, I
but
thought he should do that. And I mean, he's doing it a little bit more lately, but it's still. And then, well, the thing that I think we both talked about that was going to be really bad for Detroit was
space.
Brandon Jennings running the
Oh,
point.
yeah. That's been bad.
In our season preview, we had one of the questions was, who's going to miss more shots this season, Brandon Jennings or Josh Smith? Some people took Josh Smith, and I was like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, Brandon Jennings missed shots. It's like what he does for a living.
Hey, to be fair, like, Josh Smith's not a bad choice. Like, look at how what he's shooting from three.
Right, but Josh Smith makes everything close to the basket. Jennings doesn't make anything anywhere.
That's true. That's true. And I forgot, I'm sorry if I'm attributing this to the wrong side. I believe it was Detroit Bad Boys, which did a really great breakdown on their fourth quarter struggles. They're just, Detroit's the worst fourth quarter team. They're atrocious. And I believe it's Jennings and Smith are taking the majority of their fourth quarter shots.
But they're even worse than Minnesota in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. They're bad, wow. Dude.
That ain't good.
No, no.
Yeah, and you know what? The most surprising thing about Detroit is their defense isn't even good when they have the three big guys on the floor together. I mean, Monroe's not a great defender, but, I mean, Smith is, or his defense has fallen off this year a little bit, but he should be a good defender, and Drummond has the potential to be a good defender. His footwork is still a little bit iffy. He gets out of position a little bit. But with those two guys, between Smith and Drummond on the floor blocking shots, they should at least be able to craft a good interior defense. And they haven't even been able to do that.
No, it's just been – it's been pretty much a disaster.
It's not pretty. Another disappointing thing for me, and this is more due to injuries than anything else, but I think some of it is also due to just the schemes that they use. The Pelicans, I mean –
yeah,
I kind of thought they could make a run at a playoff spot. And Anthony Davis has been everything we could have asked for and more. But, I mean, their defense is just god-awful. It's the worst defense in the league, I believe, right now. And, I mean, Ryan Anderson has been hurt for most of the season. I think he played, like, 15 or 16 games. Just a really tough season for him in terms of, you know, the injuries and then his girlfriend over the summer. But, I mean... That's a team that I thought was going to be a lot better than they are, and it's a little disappointing to me that I think they're 7 games back of a playoff spot right now.
Well, and also, like, Monty Williams is supposed to be a defensive coach, and, you know, there are parts of him that are good. He has really good sets, but just overall they haven't been able to put it together, and injuries certainly play a part of that as well. Like, every time it seems like they're starting to mesh and they're starting to, you know, put everything together, you know, Drew Holiday goes out, or then Ryan Anderson goes out, or Anthony Davis breaks his hand again, and it's just...
Yeah, Anthony Davis breaks his hand while we're in the building.
Yeah. God, that was disappointing.
There's a good defensive team hidden somewhere in that roster. Like, when they have... This was as of last week. When they had Holiday, Aminu, and Anthony Davis on the floor together, they were defending, like, a top 3 defense.
And that's not true. Like, those are...
The beginning of last week.
Those are three very good, two elite defenders. So that's not surprising, but, like, yeah, it's just, again, it's a matter of timing, and, like, not, they don't see the floor together.
Right, and, you know, any time you have any other group than that exact trio on the floor, it's defense bad. Just falls apart.
Yeah.
It's not been pretty. So let's say, other than Portland, who I think is everybody's not necessarily biggest surprise, but most pleasant surprise team, and I want to talk about them a little bit after this. What's your biggest surprise team of the year?
Oh, that's easy. That's got to be the Suns. I mean,
the Suns. Yeah,
they expected everybody. Like, everybody expected them to tank, or if not tank, then just be really bad. Like, you have a first year head coach. You got Eric Bledsoe, and you're moving Goran Dragic to the two, even though, like, now it's basically just two point guards, really. But, you know, no one knew how that was going to work. They traded away Gortat just before the season started.
Right, and everyone said, like, oh, this is the clear sign.
It's a clear tanking move. And then, holy crap. You know, Jeff Hornacek has his system is simple, but it's beautiful. Like, there's just a great ball movement. He has them moving that ball really well. It's not sticking. Dragic and Bledsoe are statistical twins, not just in raw stats, but in almost every, like, advanced statistical category, even, like, the tracking, like, the player
right,
tracking
right.
data.
I remember Matt sent us that email last week where they have, like, the same time of possession and passes per game or something like
and
that.
And, like, also, I think points per half court possession. I think they both score like 0.25. Right. And it's just remarkable. And both are having great years. Obviously, Bledsoe's out now. So yeah, they're definitely my surprise, and they're a great team to watch too. They're just fun. And Markieff Morris,
they're so fun. PJ Tucker, the resurrection has been terrific to watch. I wrote about it a little bit on Bloomberg last week in my all fifth man team. Check it out. Shameless self promotion.
And Plumlee, no one saw Plumlee.
Oh, Plum Dog. He's morphed into a guy who's like a really good roll man on the pick and roll, and he's protecting the rim well too.
You know,
their defense as a whole is not great, but he challenges shots at the rim pretty well. I like his style, I like his game, and I mean, I just love that the announcers call him Plum Dog. It's hilarious.
I talked to him when they were here, and I asked him, you know, how have you adapted pretty quickly? You know, that you weren't expected to have this big of a role. He's like, you know, the biggest thing for me was patience. He got too anxious whenever he got the ball, trying to go up with it too soon. And so he had to learn how to basically slow down for himself. And, he's, you know, there's a difference, he was saying, in between playing with Bledsoe and playing with Dragic, in between, like, who wants to throw him a bounce pass, where they're going to throw it. And he needs – and another interesting thing, he says, like, I need to get my hands up, like, sooner than I usually did. But, yeah, that entire team is just great.
Another team that's a surprise for me, at least, and this is a team that I expect to be one of the worst teams, not only in their conference, but in the league, is the Raptors. I don't think I'm the only one that wasn't high on the Raptors before the season. And I mean, the fact that they've been defending really well over the last few months since the Rudy Gay trade, I guess it's kind of almost 2 months now. That's as big a surprise to me as anything else. Like, I think you knew that between Lowry and, I mean, even DeRozan and Amir Johnson, that they'd be able to score. And especially when they had Gay there, you'd think they'd be able to score as well. Not necessarily efficiently, but they'd at least score. But the fact that they've been defending well is a big surprise. And to see them over 500 in the first place in their horrible division, it's a bit of a surprise to me. Did you expect that at all from them? I think we both picked them to come in fourth in the division before the season.
I expected them to be a little bit better than they were to start the season. But with Gay out of the equation, which, you know, now the ball doesn't stick as much, it's surprising to the extent to which, like, to how good they're playing. But it's, I don't know, it's not necessarily, like, surprising that they're better without Rudy Gay. But, like, you know, the role players or the guys who weren't getting as much time because of Gay, like, now are getting more time. I mean, freaking Terrence Ross.
Yeah, 51.
Holy.
That was insane.
That was ridiculous. 10 for 17
from three.
I
mean, you could have paid me so much money to guess, like, 50 different players that would score 50 points this year, and I don't think Terrence Ross would have been on the list.
No, and I think everybody else would join you in saying that. But, yeah, like, yeah, they're playing really well. Good for them.
Yeah, it's you know what, they're pretty fun to watch too when you do get a chance to watch them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if you've watched, how much of them have you watched recently?
Probably like two or three games, that's about it.
Have you seen anything particular, like Amir Johnson just really struggling to shoot of late? He's like under 45% in January. After shooting like 59% through the end of December, it's weird. Like, I don't really particularly understand what's going on there.
You know, slumps happen.
This is a bit of a prolonged one, though.
It's a prolonged slump, but you know, I don't know. It's always tough to pinpoint. Like, is he just not getting the ball in the right spots, or is the shot just not falling?
I don't particularly know.
That was a rhetorical question. It's like,
oh,
yeah.
The last game I watched of them was the game before Terrence Ross went up off for 51 points. And I don't know. It's interesting. Another thing I'm surprised by, though, and this is another pleasant surprise, the Bulls are somehow over 500 after losing Derrick Rose again and not having Jimmy Butler for a lot of the season. And starting DJ Augustine. And, I mean, they keep going back and forth, signing like Mike James. When they came to New York earlier in the season, they had lost a bunch of games in a row, and it was just a depressing scene around that team. The fact that they've gotten themselves back over 500, and I mean they're playing very Bulls basketball. It's great to see. You know, they're Tibbs, as much as anyone else, get on him for his minutes management, and then Brian wrote a piece about his minutes management this weekend. I think Caleb has one going up soon. He certainly gets those guys to play hard every night. And, you know, Sean lives in Chicago, and he's around that team all the time. And he says that they all still love him so much. So it's really great that they've been able to still keep their heads above water without Derrick Rose again.
Yeah. I mean, and this thing, you know, they're used to playing without Derrick Rose, which is unfortunate. But Thibs just gets his guys playing the right way, especially on defense.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's one other team that's surprising, or they were until, you know, Melo wrecked them, and, like, also a few games before. Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte. I wrote about Charlotte's defense early on in the season when they had the third best defensive efficiency in the league. But since Christmas, I think I saw John Schumann tweet this the other day, they're 25th in defensive efficiency.
Yes, no, they're not good.
They've been falling apart for a while.
Yeah, well, MKG went out, and I think that really hurt them, obviously.
Right, it's not necessarily surprising that they're falling apart, but it is happening.
Yeah, but like that Clifford got them playing such good defense. And not just like where it was like with the Magic, where like they're top 8 in defensive efficiency for like the first like 3 weeks, and then like they're actually playing sustained good defense. Now, you know, not so much, but it was a good surprise.
Yes. Let's move on to a game we're gonna play. If you're a movie fan, you'll recognize the game. We're appropriating 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you name an actor or actress and then you connect them to Kevin Bacon in 6 moves or less. For example, you take, let's say, Ashton Kutcher, and then you say, okay, Ashton Kutcher was married to Demi Moore, who was in A Few Good Men with Kevin Bacon. So it's you make those kind of moves. But we're going to do this with Steven Jackson because he's been on a lot of teams, on a lot of fun teams. He's played with a lot of different players. So Jordan is going to give me a player, and I'm going to try to connect him to Steven Jackson in 6 moves or less. We'll see how this works out. I have not prepared for this at all. I have no idea which players he's going to pick. It'll be interesting. There might be some, Let's just give it a shot. All right, who's the first guy you're going
to
go with?
I'm going to start you off with a few easy ones just to, you know, kind of ease you into this. So the first one is Andre Drummond.
Okay, Andre Drummond is on the Pistons, who used to employ Ben Wallace, who was in the Malice at the Palace with the Indiana Pacers team.
Wait. Hold on. I thought it was with players that person has played with.
Okay. We'll do that.
Come on, this one's fairly in. Is okay. Does he have to have played against them? I feel like it should be like played on the same team as Steven
played
Jackson.
Okay. So Andre Drummond plays for the Pistons with Chauncey Billups, who played for. Let's see. Hold on.
Come on, you got this.
Okay, Chauncey Billups played for. I believe he played for the Celtics with Ron Mercer, who played for the Pacers with – hold on. I believe Ron Mercer played on the Pacers with Jalen Rose, who also played on the Pacers with Steven Jackson.
You made that much more complicated than it needed to be. You could have just gone Drummond to Billups, who played on the Clippers – with Chris Paul, who played with Steven Jackson.
All right, well, I wanted to include Ron Mercer. Okay?
All right, that's fair.
Well, actually, you know what? Ron Mercer did not play with Jalen Rose on the Pacers because he was traded to the Pacers for Jalen Rose. So Ron Mercer played on the Pacers with Ron Artest.
There you go.
Who also played on the Pacers with Steven Jackson.
Yeah, definitely did. All right. Thaddeus Young.
Okay. Thaddeus Young plays for the Sixers, obviously. He played there with... a guy who was recently on the Sixers. Damn. Okay, he played for the Sixers with... Well, he didn't play with him, but Andrew Bynum was on the Sixers.
Okay, I'll take... Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Andrew Bynum played for the Lakers with Pau Gasol, who now plays for the Lakers with Chris Kaman, who played on the Clippers with Chris Paul, who plays for the Clippers with Steven Jackson.
There you go. Okay. Kevin, oh no, that's an easy one. That's another one. Jose Calderon.
Jose Calderon. Okay. Jose Calderon is, let's see. Well, this is dumb. I'm just going to go back to the Pistons.
Oh, damn it. That one's actually easier than even the Pistons. Jose Calderon plays for the Mavericks, who employ Monte Ellis, who played with Steven Jackson.
Yeah, but I was going to go Jose Calderon last season played for the Pistons, who also employed Chauncey Billups, and then go back through the same path we went with Andre Drummond.
Okay. Okay, well, that rules out that one. Okay, we'll try this, I guess. Joakim Noah.
Joakim Noah, okay. Joakim Noah plays for the Bulls with DJ Augustine, who played Pacers with David West, who played on the Hornets with Chris Paul, who plays with Steven Jackson for the Clippers.
Okay. Victor Oladipo.
Oh, man. Okay. This is so hard. They don't have... Okay, Victor Oladipo plays with Aaron Aflalo on the Magic, who played in Denver with... Or actually, who was traded for Andre Iguodala, who played on the Sixers with Thaddeus Young, who played...
No. It has to have played with the team.
What, you can't use traded for?
I don't think you can use traded... Well, we should have revised this.
Traded for is like half the fun.
Okay, right, okay. You can do, so, okay, yeah, traded for is fair game. That's good.
How about this? So Victor plays on the Magic with Big Baby Davis, who played in Boston with... hold on, how am I going to go about this?
I thought the trade one was good. You raise a fair point.
I don't even remember the path I was going there.
You were going with Andre Iguodala.
Right, who was traded for Andrew Bynum, who played with Pau Gasol, who plays with Chris Kaman, who played with Chris Paul, who plays with Steven Jackson. But I don't think that that's 6 degrees.
I think that's a bit more than six.
So let's see. I went Oladipo to Aflalo to Iguodala to Bynum to Thad Young to Pau Gasol. Nope, that's already six. Okay, so Oladipo. Let's see. So Oladipo plays with... we'll go Big Baby Davis. That's one. Who played in Boston with... dead air. Good times. how about... okay, so Oladipo plays with Jameer Nelson, who played on St. Joe's with Delonte West, who played in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, with... Oof. This is tough.
Yeah, this is hard. This is a good one.
Because Oladipo is a rookie, and he's only played with very few guys, and they're all so young, and most of them have never been on other teams. So Oladipo, what did I went to? Oladipo, Nelson.
Oh, wait. You could do Oladipo Monte. Plays with Vucevic, who was traded in the Andrew Bynum trade.
Yeah, but we've already used that path like three times.
Okay.
I really want to get through this Jameer Nelson, Delonte West. Okay, so Jameer played with Delonte West. Delonte played last season or briefly in Dallas with Dirk Nowitzki, who plays with Monte Ellis, who played with Steven Jackson in Golden State. That took me way too long.
That was well done, though. You fought through it. I'm proud of you.
Let's go one more because I struggled on that one, and we might as well talk about some real basketball.
Okay.
Not that this isn't fantastic. This is my new favorite game.
All right, you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay. Ersan Ilyasova.
Well, that's easy. Ersan Ilyasova played in Milwaukee with Monte Ellis, who played in Golden State.
Damn it. Steve Jackson. Damn you, Monte. You really do have it all.
Monte does have it all. All right, we'll come back more prepared for next week.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll iron out the rules, whether or not you're allowed to use trades or free agent signings or draft picks or any other things.
I think you should be able to use trades and draft picks. I think that's fair game.
But what if it's a thing like, okay, you know, Andrew Bynum was in L.A. and they replaced him with Dwight Howard, who was in the trade with whoever.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, those guys were trading for each other, actually.
All right. We'll iron
out the rules before next week. But anyway, I think it's a really fun game. And Steven Jackson is the perfect person to use for it because he's like, I want to connect it back to the last year's Spurs, you know, and the previous version of the Spurs. Okay. Like that's a path that I should have taken at one point. But let's move on and talk about the All-Star voting. In the East, we've got Kyrie Irving and Dwayne Wade at the guards, along with Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron James at the forwards. Anything seem egregious to you there?
No.
Like, I mean, the only thing I could see people even arguing about is like, hey, Roy Hibbert should start and maybe Melo shouldn't since his team is so bad. But then again, team performance shouldn't necessarily factor.
It's never factored in. And
Melo is absolutely deserving of being an All-Star, and he's played well enough to start.
Yeah. Like,
he's been phenomenal this year. But I can see people saying, hey, you know, Roy Hibbert should be starting the All-Star game.
Well, also, and as much as I hate the fan vote, like, fans still do get to pick, so, you know, what they want to see Melo, then, you know, fine.
Yeah, and I mean, Melo's so good to have in All-Star games, too. You put him in a situation where he's not, like, ISOing all the time. He's just taking catch-and-shoot threes from LeBron. Like, he's awesome.
Right.
And, I mean, I would probably have given John Wall a starting nod over Kyrie, but that's just personal preference type thing. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
I don't really have thoughts on that. I mean, again, it's another thing where, like, the fans want to see Kyrie. I probably would have given the starting nod to John Wall. But it's fine. It's fine. It's
no, yeah, good. And I mean, Kyrie should make the team anyway, so it doesn't particularly matter. Right. And Wall will make it as a reserve.
Yes.
Who do you think the other reserve guards in the East will be? There's a bunch that have a shot. Like, you think about Aaron Aflalo, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry. I mean, I think we'll see, other than Wall, I think we'll see two of those three guys make it. Which ones do you think
will be? Well, obviously Wall.
Yeah, I mean, and other than Wall, who I think
right. I was saying, obviously, Wall. I think
I think we'll see two of three of Lowry, DeRozan, and Aflalo.
You don't think Stevenson makes it?
I would put Stevenson on the team, but I don't think he's going to make the team.
Okay. So in terms of who I think is going to, I think Aflalo and DeRozan.
I kind of think so, too. Like, DeRozan's scoring lately, I think, is going to put him over Lowry. But I think that I would put Aflalo and Lowry if I had to just choose from those three.
Right. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I mean, Aflalo's been so good. I mean, if he doesn't make the team because the Magic are really bad, I think that would be kind of sad.
Yeah, I don't think that would make any sense.
He's had such a good season, and for a guy that wasn't a high usage guy ever in Denver and kind of struggled to take on the extra load his first season in Orlando last year, he's done a really, really good job of scoring efficiently, making his threes, working off the dribble, a little bit in the post. He's a really good all-around offensive player these days. His defense has slipped a little bit from the heights where it was before. He's still a pretty good defender. I really think that he should make the team.
Yeah, I think so too.
Disappointing.
I think he deserves it. I think it's almost a push between Lowry and DeRozan. DeRozan's been scoring a ton. I think him in the All-Star game would be a ton of fun.
He would be super fun in the All-Star game. I'd love to see him get in the open court for a dunk.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. He'd be great in it. Lowry, you know, Lowry's been always that underrated guy, but he's always been a very good player.
But you know what? The East already has two really fun point guards that are going to be in the game.
Exactly.
Lowry and probably Wall. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them take DeRozan.
Yeah.
And have like another scorer out there. What about the front court? I mean, Hibbert is a shoe-in.
Hibbert's a shoe-in. Given how much the East sucks, I think...
Well, there are a bunch of guys that are going to have a shot. Like, Bosch will have a shot. Millsap, Noah.
I think Bosch definitely gets in, and then I think it's kind of a push when it comes to Noah or Millsap. Millsap's picked up the scoring load when in Horford's absence, and I think Horford would have made it, obviously. But I don't know. I think Noah makes it over Millsap.
Do you think Drummond has a shot?
I don't. Like, I think he'd be great in the All-Star game.
He would be so much fun in the All-Star game.
And I think his numbers are there. I just think Noah makes it over both of them.
Well, there's going to be a bunch more front court guys. Like, I don't know if they'll take four reserve guards. So if they don't, if they take three reserve guards, that would mean that there's four front court players, right? Yeah. So that would be Bosch, Noah, Millsap. Who would the fourth guy be if it's not Drummond? Thaddeus Young.
I think it'd be Drummond.
David West.
Yeah.
I feel like we're forgetting somebody.
I mean,
let's just put Giannis in the game. I think that everybody could
do it. Yeah, just put him in there.
He's not an all-star, but he's just so much fun.
He's so much fun.
I think that we're definitely forgetting somebody, though, in the front court. I don't know who, and it's going to really piss me off. Who are we forgetting?
I'm looking and I'm thinking.
There's somebody.
I really don't know.
Noah, Bosch, Millsap, Hibbert. Maybe they will take four guards reserves.
Maybe, like. So I can't really think of anybody else who's really that deserving.
Yeah, I mean, Horford would have...
Drummond, maybe Drummond goes to Drummond.
Yeah, but I mean, there's Drummond, again, like we said. David West could get the spot. Thaddeus Young could get the spot. Probably not, though.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
All right, what about the West? Our starters in the West were Kobe, right? Kobe won one of the spots. Steph Curry, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant and Kevin Love. So, I mean, there are people that were saying, oh, Kevin Love can't be a starter because his team's not that good. First of all, that's bullshit. Like,
that's
sorry.
Yeah. No, your argument's invalid.
It's not Kevin Love's fault that that team is not that good.
That they have absolutely no bench, or at least one so, that, like, they score.
The coach of the West, I believe, is Scott Brooks. Or actually, we don't know who the coach of the West is yet. Right?
I don't know yet, but it can't be Popovich.
Right. So it's going to be Brooks or Terry Stotts, most likely.
Yeah.
Probably Brooks. So who do you think is going to start for Kobe?
Who? I think... there's just so many West guys, and I'm trying to think who would be best.
The pool is so deep in the West. It's insane.
Yeah. I think maybe...
I mean, you could see Lillard, you could see Tony Parker, you could see Harden.
Harden. I think maybe Harden.
Chris Paul, if he's back in time.
Right. I think if he's back in time, I think it's Chris Paul. And then if not, if he's not back in time, then I think it's Harden.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Which is fine.
So the West, they're going to have 8 reserves because Kobe's already said he's not playing. Right. You figure Tony Parker, Lillard, Harden at guard spots are all going to make it. I think that's pretty safe to assume.
Yes.
And if Paul is healthy, he'll make it too. So that's already 4. So you'd get 4 front court players only. Aldridge is definitely going to make it. And then there's so many guys you could choose from. There's Dirk, Dwight, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, David Lee, Serge Ibaka. And there's so many different guys that you could choose from.
I think Dwight
plus there's
makes
guards
it.
That could make it too. Like Mike Conley could make it. I mean, he probably won't. Mike Conley, Goran Dragic. These guys could make the team in any other year, but this year is just insane.
I think Howard makes it.
If Howard doesn't make it, that would be pretty absurd. He's had such a good season.
So I think he's absolutely making it. I think Anthony Davis is deserving, and I think he should make it. I just don't know if he will. But
see, I think Anthony Davis makes it, and Boogie Cousins doesn't because people don't like Boogie Cousins.
Yeah,
the internet likes Boogie Cousins, but I feel like people around the league don't like him.
Probably don't. Right. Yeah,
and that's working with no inside information, but he's got the abrasive personality. He doesn't necessarily get along with other players like Chris Paul. I mean. Even Dirk could get shut out of the game, which would be crazy too. I mean, somebody that's incredibly deserving of making an all-star team is going to get shut out in the West.
Yeah.
Maybe more than one somebody.
Like Tim Duncan, he's deserving.
I didn't even mention Tim Duncan.
Right. I think he's deserving, but I think he doesn't want to go. If you're the Spurs, like, no, just let me rest. Just let me go to a beach somewhere and just kind of, you know, chill for a little bit. I think Davis makes it. I'm trying to think of who else should make it. Like, yeah,
well, I think Aldridge, Parker, and Lillard, and Harden, I think, are shoo-ins.
Those are shoo-ins. I'm going to go ahead and say Chris Paul will be back by then, so I'm going to say that's 5.
So then out of Dirk, Dwight, Davis, Cousins, Lee, Dragic, Conley, you got to pick 3 guys. I think Dwight gets in. I think Davis gets in. And then I think it's between Dirk
and
Boogie.
Conley.
I don't think Conley's going to get in.
I think it's between Dirk and Conley. For some reason, I just don't see Dragic making it.
Well, I think it's between Dirk and Boogie for that last spot.
Oh, Dirk and Boogie.
I think it'll be Dirk.
You're right. Dirk and Boogie. That's, yeah. Yeah, and I think it'll be Dirk too, just because.
I think it'll wind up being Dirk. Which I'm fine with. I would love to see Boogie make the team, though.
Yeah, I would too, but I'm...
Who wouldn't? Who doesn't want Boogie Cousins in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
If you don't want Boogie Cousins in the All-Star game, you don't like fun.
He would be jacking up so many threes.
He would be the best. He really would. Let's move on from there, actually, to another announcement that came this past week. The Team USA Basketball, the 28-player pool. Some surprises in there as well. No John Wall, first of all. Again, John Wall was left off the 28-player list. We'll read off that list right now. It was LaMarcus Aldridge, Carmelo Anthony, Bradley Beal, Tyson Chandler, DeMarcus Cousins, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond, Kevin Durant, Kenneth Faried, Paul George, Blake Griffin, James Harden, Gordon Hayward, Dwight Howard, Andre Iguodala, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Kyle Korver, David Lee, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Kevin Love, Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, Klay Thompson, Russell Westbrook, and Darren Williams. Thoughts? I mean, my first thought, and I wrote about this in the Grantland shoot-around last week, was that, I mean, I can't believe that John Wall didn't make it. Like, we took Kyle Korver, Klay Thompson, Darren Williams, Derrick Rose, David Lee, Kawhi Leonard, Gordon Hayward, all these guys, Bradley Beal even, from his own team, over John Wall. I mean, I don't particularly get that.
I don't either, especially since speed kills in international play. And Wall's got great size as well. I'd want Wall there over probably...
like almost half the guys on the team.
Probably over... I mean, I don't know. I think I'd have Wall, even though I know it's not a fair switch. I'd rather have Wall there than Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's...
like, look, Faried's got energy and he rebounds, but he's not a good defender.
I'm sort of surprised after all the stuff that came out about his attitude at the camp a couple of years ago that they named Boogie to the roster that said he's incredibly deserving of being on it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'll always like...
I mean, the Korver selection especially when he's going to be... as the, you know, the token shooter.
Who? Korver?
Korver. It makes sense as the, you know, you need the guy that's the sharpshooter. I don't necessarily think he'll make the Olympic team, but I could see him being on, you know, the World Cup team this summer.
Yeah, I could see that, and you know, I think he'd be good for it. Klay Thompson, for some reason, is one I keep going back and forth on.
The thing about Klay, he's such a good shooter, and he has good size to defend both wing positions. He hasn't necessarily taken, you know, a massive leap to start him. Like, he's a good fit for international ball because of his defensive versatility and his shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I just keep going back and forth. I'm like, I understand the reasons why he should be on there, and I'm fine with it, but I don't know. Gordon and, Hayward's
know,
another
are,
guy.
There are so many point guards that I get, like, you know, Westbrook, Williams, Paul. I guess that's really it in the point guards. Not Kyrie.
And Lillard.
Kyrie, five point guards. Steph Curry. So, yeah, but, I mean, I still think John Wall should have been on there.
I do, too. Darren Williams, like...
Darren has so much experience with the national team. I feel
oh,
like
yeah. It's just, I don't know if, like... but, you know, I don't know if, like again, his injuries that keep, unfortunately, piling
right.
on.
He's very frequently injured. I mean, Westbrook and Rose are currently injured. It's very possible... and Paul is currently injured as well.
Right.
It's very possible that you only have like two healthy point guards at some point between like, and Curry's a guy who's dealt with injuries in the past too. The only point guard on the list that hasn't either isn't currently or hasn't frequently dealt, and sorry, Rose is on there too. He's very frequently injured. The only point guard on the list out of the seven point guards there that hasn't dealt with injuries in the NBA is Damian Lillard.
Right.
Well, then again, Wall has dealt with injuries too.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. But then again, like, it's international play, you know, but so I just have to wonder if one of those guys is going to be like, is going to maybe sit out and not want to play and just like.
Oh, I mean, they're only taking 12 guys in each tournament. 16 guys are going to sit out for each of these.
Well, no, I'm saying I like one guy maybe doesn't even like make it to camp, like after the season's over and reconsiders, like, you know, I want to be able to rest.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think they name replacements at that point. They just choose from the rest of the pool of 28.
You don't think they bring another guy in? That's fair.
No, I mean, that's why they take 28 guys rather than just 12.
Sure.
Do you have anything else to add about Team USA? I think that's
This could be like deadly. I mean, look at all the possible lineups. I know you wrote about this.
You want me to read off my lineups today? Hyper athleticism lineup was Westbrook, Rose, Iguodala, Griffin, and Drummond. That's, I mean, if they're all healthy, like, good luck.
God, that's terrifying.
The Supernova shooting lineup, which was Curry, Beal, Korver, Durant, and Love. That's, I mean, how do you even guard that? Like,
do you realize we could get Chris Paul to Anthony Davis lobs?
Oh, yeah. Well, the probable starting lineup, I think, is Chris Paul, Paul George, Kevin Durant, LeBron, and Anthony Davis.
God. That's terrifying. Like that.
It's possible that those are the five best players in the league right now.
Right.
Not exactly. Definite, but it's possible.
And that's just like, that's a horrifying like starting lineup. My God.
So my defense lineup was Iguodala, Paul George, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, had fun trying to score. just the wingspan in there would be absurd.
They could probably encircle the entire half court with it, or like at least the 3-point line.
My favorite lineup was the technical fouls lineup, just like the angry dudes. Westbrook, KD, Carmelo, Blake Griffin, and Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, yeah.
Those dudes would get angry, man. The all Pac-12 lineup, Westbrook, Harden, Klay Thompson, Iguodala, and Love. At first, I thought that there is hidden in there a non-automatic qualifier lineup, which would be Lillard, Kawhi, Fareed, Hayward, and hold on, there was one, and Steph Curry.
I'm trying right now to come up with like an all passing lineup just for fun.
Oh, I did that too. The passing lineup: Chris Paul, Iguodala, LeBron, David Lee, and Cousins.
Oof, yeah. I was thinking either
you could maybe you could Durant. Make
you yeah, could you put in put also Durant for Lee, even though Lee's such a good passer. Oh man, that'd be a fun one too.
Yep. There are so many different fun lineup combinations you could play with. It's great. Maybe my favorite, though, is my C-team lineup. Beal, Korver, Hayward, Fareed, and Lee. It's like he just tacked those guys on the end of the roster.
That's a start. Like in the NBA, that's a starting five of like just a barely sub-500 team.
It would be a pretty bad, well, I should say a really, really, really bad defensive team.
Oh, it would be a horrible defensive team.
Like a front court of Hayward, Fareed, and Lee with Beal. It's either Hayward or Beal is the best defender on that starting five.
Right.
Not so great. Anyway, I think that's all for today. Podcast Paroxysm.
Do we want to talk Justified, or should we save that for next week?
We'll save that for next week after we get a couple more episodes in. We will have to talk about Michael Rappaport's accent, which, man,
yeah, man. It's bad.
We will talk about Justified next week. We'll be back with more Six Degrees of Captain Jack as well. And we'll talk about a few more things. The All-Star rosters will have all been announced by then. The reserves will be out. We'll talk about that. Oh, you know what? Before we go, congratulations, Carmelo Anthony. You broke the all-time Madison Square Garden scoring record and the New York Knicks scoring record with the 62-point game, one of the, like, four home games I didn't go to this year because I was busy talking to Shane Larkin at the Nets-Mavs game, which was just, I mean, it's a dream come true.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it?
It was – I mean, there's – it's it was not worth missing the game, but it was worth being able to talk to Shane. It was so much fun. I mean, I talked to him for a while before the game, and then I talked to him about, you know, this year's Canes team after the game. It was fun, man. I had a good time talking to him.
But I'm glad you had fun.
I also miss Knicks history. So
yeah,
that was a downer. Anyway, that's it for this week, Podcast Paroxysm. Hopefully we'll do another one of these next week, Monday or Tuesday. Good talk. See you out there.
Bye.